I survived the weekend intact, unscathed. Therefore, I am still and remain Martin Zender. And are you ever set up for a piece of entertainment today? I'm going to read you an article from the Los Angeles Times from June 1st. And I'm going to make a point. You're probably going to wonder as I get started with this, for heaven's sakes, make a point. Well, I am going to make a point. Just to prove it to you, I'm going to give you a hint as to what points I'm going to make. I'm going to use this story to come in upon the power of religion in our lives. I'm going to make a plug against religious tolerance. Ho, ho, ho. Am I politically incorrect? You bet I am. And I'm going to draw a parallel between Christianity and the wackier religions of this world. And you know how I believe by now, for those of you who are new, who are maybe listening to the show for the first time, hang in there. Look, I think Christianity, as constituted, is the wackiest, the most evil religion on earth, because it paints a picture of God that is hideous and heinous. Hold on, folks. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saved me. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I just don't belong to his fan club. I believe that he is being misrepresented today by organized religions, by the institutions. I don't think that an institution can contain truth. In fact, I think that as soon as anything good becomes an institution and digs a basement and starts to set up a shop and put out an awning, that it's soon going to strangle the truth. Truth does not thrive in man-made structures, and that's an historical fact. It's a scriptural precedent. You look at our Lord's Day, and the apostasy of that day was among the religious hierarchy, those who, quote, knew God. Well, it's the same way today, only the names have changed. It's the same set of Pharisees. Only the names have changed. We don't call them Pharisees anymore. We call them pastors. We call them Pastor Bob, Pastor Bill, Pastor Allen. But these people, most of them are products of a seminary, of a religious institution. The seminaries put these people out like an assembly line, but you cannot create a man of God from an assembly line. If you look in the book of Acts, you look at guys like Peter, James, and John, the men of the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders were stunned that these people were so articulate about God, that they had known, that they knew the truth so well, that they spoke with such boldness and conviction, and they marveled because they had not been schooled or trained or lettered in theology, but they had walked with Jesus. And that's the qualification today. If you have walked with the Lord, then you have heard from him, and he is not speaking today from the institutions. You have a better chance of finding God, finding Christ outside the institution than in. That's because the institution has skewed God. They love traditions more than truth. Same malady that the Pharisees had. They would rather teach traditions. They don't look carefully. And because of them, the name of God has been blasphemed. Oh man, Romans chapter 2, I'll quote it for you later. Paul lambasts the Jews. He says, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. What a paradox that is, that the ones who are given, supposedly given to be close to God and given the secrets of God, they perverted the truths of God, and because of them, people stumbled at God because they were such poor representatives, and today, the Christian religion represents God as someone who will torment you for eternity if you don't obey him. He loves you, but only if you love him. He saves you by grace as long as you can work up enough faith to trust in him. And if you don't, he's going to torment you, but he still loves you. It's a mess. I don't trust Christianity. So those are the points I'm going to make. Of course, I'm not going to make them now. From the Los, do I have even time now? Yeah, I got to get started on this. This is so funny. From the Los Angeles Times, Hodal, India. Story from about a man in Hodal, India. Barreling down a sizzling hot road in a cloud of diesel fumes and dust, Lutkan Baba is on a serious roll. He lies flat on the ground, turning himself over and over like a runaway log, limbs flailing as he bumps across potholes, splashes through mud puddles, and falls deeper into a spiritual trance. Picture this. This guy is rolling. Talk about a whole, this is the original holy roller. He is literally rolling. Listen to this. Like any sadhu or Hindu ascetic, He undertakes severe penance to liberate his soul from reincarnation's endless cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. Stretched out in the middle of the road, rolling hour after hour, mile after mile, through crowds and heavy traffic, he is making his trip to eternal bliss. But this is no ordinary holy roller. He is also on a mission to bring peace to the world. His devotion and alms-raising power has earned him several disciples, many admirers, and the title Lutkan Baba, the Rolling Saint. He has rolled thousands of miles in the last 19 years, turning round and round so many millions of times that just pondering the thought can make your head spin. The writer of this article is Paul Watson, writing for the LA Times. Yet, to the 55-year-old sadhu, the constant turning is refreshing. He says he feels no pain, and except for a few blisters from rolling at high noon along gritty asphalt in 110-degree heat, his taut skin is baby smooth. When he stands, he is barefoot, around 5 feet tall, with a mop of matted black hair and a long black beard flecked with gray. He doesn't look to be carrying more than an ounce of fat on his body. When he left the road for a midday break recently, the faithful gathered to be healed with his swishes of a peacock feather broom. Sadhu, please, swish me with your peacock feathered broom. Come here, my disciple. Oh, I feel better now. It's a miracle. Okay, he heals people with the swishes of his peacock feather broom and sachets of blessed ashes. The sadhu said he had not suffered a single accident or serious injury in nearly 2 decades of long-distance rolling. Well, that's proof that God's on your side. Page 2. The rolling baba travels light. Since becoming a child sadhu, he has worn nothing more than a dhoti, a cloth loosely wrapped around his groin, hips, and buttocks. He made an exception to the sadhu's rule of austere dress and wore a beige suit with a Nehru jacket and new shoes during a 1994 visit to London to help promote a documentary film about himself. While rolling, the only protection he wears is a blue t-shirt, wristbands, and stretch bandages on his upper legs and forearms. He also holds tightly onto both ends of a strip of cloth to help build up some torque as he spins. Torque! That's cheating, isn't it? You shouldn't be able to build up torque. He's supposed to suffer. I want to see the rolling baba roll without torque. Why? What kind of spirituality is this, depending on torque? Grabbing two ends of a cloth to create torque. That's cheating! Are you a sadhu or aren't you? Call upon the spirit! Oh my gosh, there's more to this. It gets good, and I promise you I'm going to make a point, but I'm going to have to do that tomorrow. I am Martin Zender. I'll be rolling your way tomorrow. Not unlike our friend the Rolling Baba. God bless you. Believe in God no matter what the Babas tell you. I am Martin Zender.